Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, entitled The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis, and Text 4 is on the board. Sachavanijya Manangri Samantat Paya Urmabihi Karoti shamalam booming Harin marakatas mabihi Sachavanijya manangri Samantat paya urmabihi Karoti shamalam bhumim Harin marakatasmabihi Sachavanija manangri Samantat paya umabihi Karoti shamalam bhumim Harin marakatasmabihi. Vaishnavis, Sachavanijya Manangri, Sachavanijya Manangri. Sachavanija manangri Sa that mountain Cha also Avanijyamana Angrihi, whose foot is always washed. Samantat, all around. Paya Urmabihi, by waves of milk. Karoti, makes. Shamalam, dark green, bhumim, ground, harit, green, madakata, with emerald, asmabihi, stones. So before reading the translation, I'll read from the text one. Shukadev Goswami said, "My dear king, there is a very large mountain called Trikuta. It is 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles high. Being surrounded by the ocean of milk, it is very beautifully situated. The length and breadth of the mountain are of the same measurement, 80,000 miles. Its three principal peaks, which are made of iron, silver, and gold, beautify all directions and the sky. The mountain also has other peaks, which are full of jewels and minerals and are decorated with nice trees, creepers, and shrubs. The sounds of the waterfalls on the mountain create a pleasing vibration. In this way, the mountain stands, increasing the beauty of all directions." And then today's translation. "The ground at the foot of the mountain is always washed by waves of milk that produce emeralds all around in the eight directions, north, south, east, west, and the directions midway between them." Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. From Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that there are various oceans. Somewhere there is an ocean filled with milk, somewhere an ocean of liquor, an ocean of ghee, an ocean of oil, and an ocean of sweet water. Thus, there are different varieties of oceans within this universe. The modern scientists, who have only limited experience, cannot defy these statements. They cannot give us full information about any planet, even the planet on which we live. From this verse, however, we can understand that if the valleys of some mountains are washed with milk, this produces emeralds. No one has the ability to imitate the activities of material nature as conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Anmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you all for allowing me to serve you today. I pray to the Vaishnavas that I can speak properly according to our Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta. So we are starting the pastime of the elephant of Gajendra's crisis. And in the previous chapter, Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadev Goswami that we wish to hear from you in detail how the king of the elephants was attacked by the crocodile and he was delivered by Hari. So Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukadev Goswami to speak about the elephant Gajendra. And so setting up the pastime of Gajendra's surrender, there are many descriptions here of parts of the universe that if somebody came in and wasn't knowledgeable of Srimad Bhagavatam, it would be very bewildering to them. We're talking about a mountain that's 80,000 miles high, and it has the same length and breadth of 80,000 miles. So these descriptions are beyond our sensory experience. And in this day and age, we're from birth taught to really rely on our gyanendriyas, our knowledge-gathering senses. But even that, we still have to surrender to higher authorities to understand more of this world. How much can we actually understand just by our own knowledge-gathering senses? So we surrender to higher authorities. And in this day and age, the authorities, most people accept that the modern scientists are authorities. And the modern scientists, they're also using their knowledge-gathering senses, except they might have bigger instruments or they have different formulas for coming to certain conclusions. But as conditioned souls, we are all we're all conditioned to the fact that we have imperfect senses, we commit mistakes, we're illusioned, and we have a cheating propensity. So how can we properly understand the world around us? We surrender to higher authorities. And Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita how the scientists are maya pratigyana. Their intelligence is stolen by illusion. And so they're building knowledge of this world on theories. And if you've ever played Jenga, you know that if you take out a major block, the whole thing crumbles down. So upon a theory, upon a theory, upon a theory, the scientists are building so many other theories. And if you take out one of their major theories, the whole thing crumbles down and they have to start again. And every few years, they're so-called learning more about the universe and about the world. And in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada says that the scientists who are illusioned, they commit mistakes, and they have imperfect senses, they cannot give us full information about any planet, even the planet on which we live. And an interesting fact is that 71% of this earth is covered by ocean. Now, how much of that ocean is unexplored? 95% of the ocean is unexplored. It's a huge percentage of what we have no idea could be out there. But the scientists, even though they haven't explored 95% of the ocean, they're claiming that they have full knowledge of this world. So, all of us in this temple room, we're here because we've transferred our faith from the modern scientist authorities to the spiritual authorities. We've decided to take shelter of sadhu, guru, and shastra. And so Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna himself, is the absolute truth, and it's giving us knowledge that is far beyond our sensory experience. But we accept it as fact. Why? Because that is our faith. It starts with faith. We have to have some kind of theoretical knowledge. Just like when we come in contact with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the first thing they teach us is that we're not this body. But do we have vigyan, full realization that we're not this body, that we're spirit soul? We might have empirical knowledge of that, that, oh yeah, I understand the concept that I'm a soul in this body. But to have vigyan, to have real knowledge, that faith has to develop into nishta. And so we are all here because of our faith. We have some faith in this process. And so in the process of understanding Krishna, in the beginning there's faith, and then there's sadhu sangha. There's associating with the sadhus who are learned in the scriptures. And by associating with the sadhus, you're able to understand the absolute truth. So much so that you then surrender to a spiritual master, Bhajana Kriya. And by performing Bhajana Kriya, or devotional service, under the guidance of a spiritual master, then comes anarta nivritti. Our hearts are cleansed of different dirty mentalities, different doubts, different offenses, sinful activity. Our hearts become cleansed, anarta nivritti. And then comes nishta, firm faith. And in one Srimad Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada, he actually explains that nishta is when you have 60% anarta nivritti. Nishta comes after 60% of Anartha Nivritti. So we don't have to do Anartha Nivritti to the nth degree just to get to Nishta. So then Nishta comes, and that's firm faith. And then from there, we can actually try to start relishing Krishna consciousness. And it may take a considerable amount of time to get to Nishta, according to how we are struggling to get rid of our anartas, the dirty things within our hearts. But when we come to Nishta, then all these different doubts are washed away, and we can really take shelter of Krishna. And so in this material world, we hear these different descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam, and because our heart is dirty, because our heart is conditioned, we're thinking, oh, this can't be. We have so many doubts in our mind. And our mind accepts and it rejects. That's the function of the mind, accepting and rejecting. But when we come to devotional service, then anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. We want to accept that which is favorable for devotional service and reject that which is unfavorable. So favorable to devotional service is trying to understand the scriptures and understand that there's many things that are beyond our sensory experience. And even though we might not understand it, we still accept it because it's coming from a higher authority. And what to speak of understanding the material world, what to speak of understanding the Srishti Leela of the Lord, the creation of the Lord, Mahavishnu lying in Garbhadaka ocean. Karanadakshay Vishnu lying in the causal ocean, and then from him so many universes are coming, and then in each universe there's Garbhadakshay Vishnu Padmanabha. He has a lotus flower that sprouts from his navel, and there's Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma creates this material universe. So what to speak of understanding that? We have to hear from higher authorities and we have to accept it. So what to speak of understanding the creation of the Lord, and what to speak of understanding Krishna himself. Atta Shri Krishna na madi na bhaved grayam indriyai sevan mukhe hi jivado swayam eva spratyada. That with these material senses, we cannot understand the Lord. We cannot come in contact with the Lord with these material senses. So Atta Shri Krishna na madi, we start by chanting the holy names. We use our tongue in the service of the Lord. Atta Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado Swayam Eva Spratyada. And by engaging in the tongue, by engaging the tongue in the service of the Lord, by chanting the holy names, by speaking about the activities of the Lord, glorifying the Vaishnavas, and taking Krishna Prasadam, then our senses become purified. And we develop our spiritual senses. And through our spiritual senses, we can understand the absolute truth. We can come into contact with Krishna. Sarvapadi vinir muktam tat paritvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchite. Bhakti, or devotional service, is engaging these senses, rishikena, in the service of rishikesha, the master of the senses. And when we engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses, then sarvopadi vinir muktam, all these upadis, these false designations, are washed away. And we are able to realize who we truly are, the jivara srupa hoy Krishna Nityadas, the eternal servant of Krishna. So we must continuously purify ourselves. And the more that we purify ourselves, then we go back to the Shastra and we hear more of these wonderful pastimes, and we're able to enter into these pastimes in a mood of service, not in a mood of enjoyment, but in a mood of service. And the more that we understand the Shastra, the more that we understand the world around us. In Mayapur, Sri Mayapur Dham, they're building the Vedic planetarium, which will fully explore the Vedic cosmography, and people can go and try to understand from a Vedic perspective the real truth about this universe, rather than try to go and learn from modern scientists of what they think is proper. And so we're very small The jiva is very insignificant, very small, anu, tiny. And so what can we really understand about this material world without surrendering to higher authorities? And what can we understand really about Krishna unless we surrender to higher authorities? And so that is the secret of success, is surrendering to the higher authorities who are tattvadarshinihi. They've seen the absolute truth and they're able to show you the absolute truth. And we even see in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, he's fully conversant in all the Vedas. He's the topmost living entity in this world. He created the 14 planetary systems on the instruction of Krishna. And he was personally initiated by Krishna. And so we read in Krishna book, in the 10th canto, that there's a bewilderment of Lord Brahma. Now this starts with the pastime of Agasura. Agasura, he was a ferocious demon that even the demigods were afraid of. And he had many mystical powers. And he was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. And he wanted so much to get revenge because he couldn't stand that his sister and brother, who were also powerful demons, were killed by this little boy living in Vrindavan. And so Agasura, he went, and he had many mystical powers, and he transformed himself into a huge snake. I think it was 8 miles, 7 miles long. Huge, huge snake. It was described that the top of his lip was touching the clouds. He was such an enormous snake. So even this is beyond our sensory experience, that we can understand that somebody has these mystical potencies. And so he went with the desire to kill Krishna and all the calves and cowherd boys, all the children, because he thought that if I kill these boys and these calves, then all the residents of Vrindavan will die. And Srila Prabhupada explains in Krishna book that the children are very dear for the householders. So if the children die, then the householders will suffer. And so Krishna and the cowherd boys, they were playing through the forests of Vrindavan like they do, imitating the different animals, playing different games. Some of the cowherd boys, they would see Krishna in the distance, and they would play a game where they would try to be the first to touch Krishna. And so they would imitate other animals or play different games while they were tending to the calves at this time. And so they saw Agasura, they saw this huge snake. And the cowherd boys, they were debating with each other. Should we go in or not? Is this a huge snake or is it a cave? Look, the tongue, it's like a road. The teeth are just like, stalagmites, coming off of the cave. And others were saying, no, this is a demon and he's going to kill us. And some of the cowherd boys, they said, oh, what do we have to worry? Krishna is here with us. If we're in trouble, then Krishna will save us. He's our dear friend. And so they marched into the mouth of Agasura. And Krishna, he sat, we can see in the painting there, he sat with his calf and he was actually crying, seeing his cowherd friends going into the mouth of Agasura. And so he, after the cowherd boys, they went in, Krishna followed, and all the demigods, they were, alas, alas, Krishna's going into the mouth of Agasura. And when he went into the mouth of Agasura, he started immediately growing and growing. So much so that Agasura couldn't grow anymore, and he was suffocated. And his spirit soul ended up shooting out through the top of his head. And the demigods watched as the spirit soul of Agasura entered into the body of Krishna. And one of the demigods there was Lord Brahma. And he was bewildered for a second because he was thinking, this boy, I technically know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he killed Agasura, who even the demigods are afraid of. And Lord Brahma, he decided to test Krishna because he saw that after killing Agasura, the cowherd boys, they sat down and had their lunch. And it's described that Krishna was like the whorl of the lotus flower. All the cowherd boys sitting around him were the lotus petals. And they were all feeding Krishna. Now, Lord Brahma, in his planet, Satyaloka, there's the Mahapurush. There's an expansion of Krishna, expansion of Vishnu in Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, who accepts the rituals and accepts bhoga that Lord Brahma offers. And so to offer bhoga to the Lord, you have to perform many elaborate rituals. But he saw that these cowherd boys, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the origin of Vishnu, they would eat something, and they'd say, oh, Krishna, taste this. This is really good. My mama made this. You know, have this. And so Krishna, he would accept their love. And this was bewildering Lord Brahma. He couldn't understand this. So he decided to test Krishna to see if he was really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was very puffed up also, thinking himself very mystical. And so he took the calves away and put them in a cave, put them to sleep. And the cowherd boys, they noticed that all of the calves were gone. And they started worrying, Krishna, Krishna, the calves are gone. Our parents are going to be so upset. What are we going to do? And so Krishna said, don't worry. I will go find the calves and bring them back myself. You just enjoy your lunch. So the cowherd boys, they sat. And Lord Brahma, while Krishna was away, he took the cowherd boys and locked them up in a cave and put them to sleep by his mystic potency. And Krishna, he came back and he could fully understand what was happening, what Lord Brahma was doing. So to curb the pride of Lord Brahma and simultaneously satisfy his pure devotees, the cowherd men, the cowherd women, and the cows of Vrindavan, he expanded himself as the calves, as the missing calves and the missing cowherd boys. He expanded himself. All of them, they came out and they were perfect replicas of all the cowherd boys and the calves. And so he took all of them back to Vrindavan. And the women, the cowherd women of Vrindavan, they always wanted to have Krishna as their own child. So Krishna was fulfilling their desire. And there's many wonderful pastimes. For 1 year, Krishna expanded himself and lived. And the women and the cowherd men and the cows, they were able to have Krishna as their own child in the form of all these cowherd boys and calves. And so after 1 year, Brahma, he looked back to see what disturbance he had caused, to see if he had bewildered Krishna and what Krishna had done because of his test. And he looked back for a moment of his time is a year of our time. So he looked back and he saw that all the calves and all the cowherd boys are there. Are they not affected by my mystic powers? Are these the same cowherd boys? Are these the same calves? And he started going on and he became more and more bewildered. And Krishna, he revealed that all of them were Vishnu himself. And he saw all the cowherd boys and all the calves turn into Vishnu Murtis. And not only that, he saw all types of Shivas and Brahmas. And he became completely bewildered. So what to speak of us trying to fully understand Krishna? Even Lord Brahma himself, he became completely bewildered trying to understand Krishna and even trying to test Krishna. And Lord Brahma is more versant in the Vedas than us. He's completely self-realized. So what to speak of our fully knowing Krishna? But we can understand Krishna by surrendering to higher authorities and taking to the process of bhakti. Bhaktyaham abhijananti. Krishna states that one can know him by practicing bhakti, by practicing devotional service, by surrendering, by giving up the accepting and rejecting of the mind and accepting which is favorable for devotional service and rejecting which is unfavorable for devotional service. And even we think that, oh, to understand Krishna, I'll perform so many austerities. I'll perform so many austerities and penances. And in Chaitanya Leela, there is a wonderful pastime where in the home of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, every night they would get together and they would dance and chant in the home of Srivas Thakur. And it was closed off to the people at this time because they were exhibiting such high ecstasy that ordinary people, they couldn't understand it. So Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, they would get together in Srivas Thakur's house and perform Harinam Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord all night long in ecstasy. And one day, there was this pure brahmachari who was a milk drinker. All he would drink is milk. He wouldn't take any grains. He wouldn't take anything except fruit and milk. He was very austere, very renounced. And he went to Srivas Thakur and he said, "Please, please allow me to see Lord Chaitanya's dancing. That's all I want. Please allow me to see entrance, of, gain entrance into the Lord's pastimes." And so he was, in such a way, he was kind of trying to force his way into the Leela of the Lord. And so Srivas Thakur, he was thinking, oh yes, he's, you know, he's a pure brahmachari, he's very renounced. Of course the Lord will be able to, you know, have this pious brahmachari come in. And so he said that, you know, you come into the home and I will hide you. And then you will see the Lord's dance. So Lord Chaitanya came, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, all the devotees, they were dancing ecstasy, and the Lord started dancing. But then he stopped and he said, "I'm not feeling ecstasy as I usually do. Is there somebody here that's not a devotee? Is there somebody here that's not a Vaishnav?" And Srivas Thakur, he immediately knew that, oh, I've been caught. He knows about this brahmachari milk drinker. And so he said that there's nobody sinful here. Lord, you don't have to worry. There's nobody sinful here. And the Lord said, "Srivas Thakur, who is here?" And he said, he's a pure brahmachari who only drinks milk. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Get this milk drinker out." He said that by austerities and penances, you cannot force your way into bhakti. You cannot force your way into the leelas of Krishna. What are the austerities that Gajendra performed? What are the austerities that so many devotees performed? They simply surrendered to Krishna. This is the one quality that makes a Vaishnav, is that they're completely surrendered to Krishna. They're completely surrendered to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us that we can't force our way into Krishna Leela. We can't force our way into understanding Krishna. But we have to surrender to higher authorities who will then give us faith. Then we perform Bhajana Kriya. We perform Anarta Nivritti. And ultimately, by chanting the holy names, by trying to mold our lives so that we can chant Shuddha Nam, not Nam Aparad, not offensively chanting the holy name, not even Nam Abhas. We start at Nam Aparad, we try to clear the offenses, come to Nam Abhas, and then by steady chanting of Nam Abhas, then we'll be able to chant the real holy name. And by chanting the real holy name, by chanting Shuddha Nam, everything will come. Guna Rup Leela. Everything will come from the Lord by chanting the holy name. Because the holy name is non-different than Krishna. And so in bhakti, we're surrendering to the holy name. We're surrendering to Guru. We're surrendering to Sadhu. And we're surrendering to Shastra. So we should develop our faith into Nishtha. Read the scriptures. And not be bewildered by so many things of this world, and take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Are there any discussion, questions, comments on these points? Well, there's material enjoyment, which is based on trying to enjoy these material senses. And then there's spiritual enjoyment, which is bhakti. So to really enjoy, we have to understand that we're not this body, that we're spirit soul. And so when we link up with the supreme enjoyer, Krishna, he's the real enjoyer. And our life tries to be molded around giving pleasure to Krishna rather than giving pleasure to our own senses. and then we can actually enjoy. So we have to detach ourselves from material enjoyment and surrender to spiritual enjoyment. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Back to Eric Prabhu.
Thanks for a nice class, Prabhu. I was just had another question about accepting things from authority. Obviously this is like a really important part of the process. But sometimes it's it can be, a bit more complicated than just simply accepting, or because sometimes even the version given by authority is different than we would expect. I mean, it's like, in other words, if we don't fully understand it, then we might not necessarily accept it in the proper way. Like, for instance, with so many things with cosmology, like, if we just accept some things on face value, people might say, like, oh, like the sun is closer than the moon, and all these things, and we get ridiculed, we get ridiculed if we accepted things like that. But so authorities like Sariputta and some others will say, it's closer to Bhumandala, like the plane of the earth. And they'll kind of explain a bit more, they'll give some more insight into it. But even then, there's some disagreements on this level, and not all of this is necessarily self-evident. So I was just wondering if you could explain a little bit more about, how we're to accept things on authority.
Well, even Srila Prabhupada in the fifth canto, he sincerely prays to his spiritual master that even himself, he had some difficulty in fully understanding the cosmography that's there in the purports by Srila Prabhupada. And I guess one point that I was focusing on in regards to this is that, for instance, in the material world, or, regular people, they accept certain things from the scientist that they don't fully understand, but they just accept it because they're surrendering to that higher authority. And so, ourselves, we might not understand something in Srimad Bhagavatam, but because we're surrendering to the higher authority, we can accept it and not fully understand it. And we might not fully understand it now, but we might understand it later. As our senses are purified, as our mind is purified, then it becomes easier to understand certain things. And in regards to Sariputta Prabhu and different devotees who have different understanding of Vedic cosmography, they're highly intelligent devotees, and they're trying to give us understandings of this Vedic cosmography. But if we don't understand Vedic cosmography, it's not that we won't go back to Goloka Vrindavan. For instance, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopakumar, he talks about his activities in his life and how he went back home, back to Godhead. And when he was chanting his Gopal mantra, he didn't understand even the Gopal mantra, but he had faith in the Gopal mantra. And by the faith in that Gopal mantra, it would take him to different parts of the universe, right? And where he wanted to go, it would satisfy all his desires. And then he even didn't even realize who Shiva was. He didn't know what the Brahmajyoti was. He didn't know so much of the material universe. But he had complete faith in the chanting of the holy name. And by having that complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, everything was later on revealed to him. So reading the scriptures, it's a very deep thing that, we just don't brush through it and try to understand with our material mind. It's a very deep thing that, we pray, we sincerely chant our rounds, we follow the four regular principles, and then Krishna, who is Srimad Bhagavatam, will reveal himself to us. It's a very mystical thing. It's a very mystical process. And we have to use our intelligence in trying to understand the Vedic cosmography and all the details in Srimad Bhagavatam. But surrendering to higher authorities, you know, different authorities might have different opinions on that regard, but they're all surrendered to the higher authority of Srila Prabhupada and trying to please Srila Prabhupada. So if you surrender to one of those authorities, you're going to surrender to the others as well. Is that okay, Prabhu? Does anybody have anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.